The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited for today's episode with Drew. She's got such a voice and she has so much wisdom. I feel like there were so many nuggets of wisdom that I took from a conversation that I'm really excited for you to hear. Before we get into that, I just need to tell you my thoughts on Challengers, the movie with Zendaya and Josh O'Connor from The Crown. If you have not seen Challengers, I would skip ahead like 5 minutes because spoiler alerts are on the horizon. This was the best movie that I have seen since Coda. I know that's very specific and random and very different movies. Coda was just like a life-changing movie for me that I just feel like there aren't that many great movies. I actually really like Poor Things, but it's a different kind of movie. Anyway, this was phenomenal. Just the story and the characters and everyone crushed it acting wise. It was so good. If you don't care about spoilers and you haven't seen it, I'll give you a little synopsis. It's about this girl named Tashi, which funny enough was my dog's name growing up. Same exact spelling. It means good luck in Tibetan for anyone who's curious. And Tashi's played by Zendaya and she is this amazing tennis player. But the movie kind of starts out with her supporting her husband, Art Donaldson, who is a very like on the Andy Roddick level of tennis, like tennis champion, basically. And she is his coach and clearly his wife as well. And then we kind of follow this guy named Patrick, who is more of like a washed up, has been tennis player that we don't know what his success looked like in the past, but we know that he's playing a local tournament and sleeping in his car. Obviously, we know that these three are connected, but we don't know how yet. We soon find out that Art and Patrick grew up together playing in like a tennis boarding school, and they were best friends and roommates. And Patrick was actually in love with Tashi, or like had a crush on Tashi because he knew about her because she was like an up and coming women's player. And he was like, we have to like, you know, like check her out. Like she's amazing. And he kind of introduced Art to Tashi while they were watching her play. And Art also fell for her. And then they both are like in love with her. And then they have like a fun night, just like kissing and whatever. And then they have like this joke that whoever wins their next tournament, which was like a US Open Juniors tournament between Art and Patrick, gets Zendaya's number. And Patrick won and he got her number and they started dating. From the beginning, I will say that I was Team Patrick because he was the one that was initially interested in Zendaya. So I was happy that he won and that they were dating. You could clearly tell that Art has become in love with her and he wanted to sabotage her and Patrick's relationship. Art and Zendaya end up going to Stanford together for college, while Patrick, who it seems like comes from like a different side of the tracks a little bit, or at least his parents are like, we don't see any parents in this, but I guess I'm just inferring that his parents don't think that college is as important because he goes right to trying to be professional. And Art and Tashi go to Stanford to play there, and then they want to become professional from there. So at Stanford, Art takes this opportunity to try to basically get Tashi from Patrick. And I guess he hasn't moved on or seen any other women. And what's interesting is that no one has any other friends in this movie, but we'll get there. Anyway, so he ends up convincing Tashi that Patrick isn't in love with her. And then he has a conversation with Patrick while he's there visiting Tashi, saying that Tashi doesn't take it seriously. So he's basically scheming. He's a snake. And he plants these ideas in both of their heads, which it's really easy to plant those ideas in people's heads if they're long distance dating in college. If when I was long distance dating my significant other in college, which was the dumbest thing I ever did, if I so much as heard for a second that he was like close with a girl at a party, I knew that it had to be true, right? Because like it's college. And so of course they believe him because why wouldn't they? And then they end up having this huge fight. And after the fight, Patrick doesn't go to support Zendaya at her tournament. at Stanford, and she ends up breaking like her leg or something, fucking up her leg and being like and being disqualified to basically play for the rest of her life. So it's like a really crazy injury, obviously. And Art is by her side at that moment because he was at the tournament, and he kind of like swoops in to, you know, be a shoulder for her to cry on. And Patrick comes in at that moment to be like, oh my God, like what happened? And they're both like, get the fuck out. And so he gets, you know, played or whatever. They make it seem like he's the villain. And that's like how her and Art ended up being together and married. And then she like becomes his coach. She also is a very strong female character in this, the kind of strong female character who it can be difficult to date if you are not okay with someone kind of being in charge and like calling the shots. Basically, she, in her relationship with Art, was like the male in the relationship. And someone actually DM'd me this, so I want to give her credit for her thoughts. Her name is Lara. And she said, Tashi would never, ever fall in love with Art because she was the male in the relationship. She made the decisions, overall embodied the masculine energy. She needed someone to challenge her and who would not lower their head to her. And basically, she's saying that Art was her puppy, and like, she, Tashi, as the woman that she is, she needed a man. And Patrick was like a man. Patrick was her equal. Like, she wanted him to be like, oh, you're amazing, I'm your fan. And he was always like, I'm your equal. Like, I'm your fan, obviously, but I'm also your equal. And Art would just like do anything that she said. He was like her lapdog. And so she always had that burn for Patrick. That never went away. And that was Art's fault, because he knew that when he swooped in, he knew that the feelings were not resolved for Patrick. And so obviously she ends up like cheating on him. Art even sees at one point that her and Patrick have met up at one of the tournaments. This was like a few years before the last tournament in the game. And he like almost like turns a blind eye and doesn't say anything. And, or maybe he thinks it was like his imagination or something. It was really crazy that they like made out so publicly when she was already engaged or married to Art then, but whatever. And then like it was just so beautifully done. I wish I could spend the whole time talking about this, but I might have to do that. And then I'll just get to your voice questions on the next episode. I might have to do that because it's just so fucking good. And basically when Patrick and Zendaya and Tashi had first like started dating, Art wanted to know if they had slept together. And he was like, I don't kiss and tell, like, I'm not going to say that. And he was like, okay, well, if they did, like, put your ball, the tennis ball, in the racket part that kind of like looks like a triangle when you serve. And he did it to show that they had had sex. Fast forward to Art is not doing well as a tennis player. Zendaya, as his coach, signs him up for that tournament that Patrick was in as like, you know, a washed up tournament in like in Westchester. And he comes into the tournament. They end up, of course, being like the two that are left and, you know, playing in the final. And the night before the last game, Zendaya gets in touch with Patrick, who had given her his number to try to get her to be his coach, when we all knew that like he didn't really want her to be his coach. He just wanted her to have his number. And she, of course, calls him. She goes to see him. They meet up. They have like this insanely, like the chemistry was insane in the scene. They're fighting and then they're having sex. And then the next day during the tournament, to signal to Art that he had had sex with his wife, Patrick does the same signal. And they like exchange a smirk and it's crazy. And then we don't really know how the tournament ends, but like Art wins the next point. And then, oh, and Art and Tashi had this crazy conversation the night before where Tashi basically said, if you don't win the tournament, like if you don't win tomorrow, I'm going to leave you. It's so crazy. I got to stop because I don't want to bleed into this episode, but it is the craziest, most electrifying movie I've seen in years. There's so much there. I highly recommend that you see it if you haven't yet. There's just, there's so much to unpack. I'm like, I'm not even done, but I feel like I have to be done. but it's amazing. And it just goes to show, if you are a strong woman, you can have a guy like Patrick. You shouldn't settle for a guy like Art and then like pine for your Patrick. You can find someone in the in-between. You know what I'm saying? Like, with a little bit of Patrick energy and a little bit of Art energy, that's still your equal. Because if you don't, and you are a strong woman, you are going to be pining and missing that forever. You're going to be missing someone who was able to stand their ground against you. And with that, I'm so excited for you to hear Drew. If you've seen any part of my apartment, you know that I am obsessed with Article. Like, obsessed. I have their basket set for the nursery. I have their moon gold floor lamps in the nursery. The rug that, thank God, Article is still making this rug because it's the best. It's the Pearl Bovee blue rug. It is so good. We've had it for years. I have their side table. I mean, I'm just obsessed. And we actually have an old day bed that we had in storage that we're now taking out of storage because we have more room for. Anyway, I've had the best experience with Article. If you don't know what Article is, it's an incredible furniture delivery. Like, oh, it's way more than that. Article believes in delightful design for every home, and they have an online-only model with really good prices, like mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, all kinds of designs, and they're very curated too. It's not just like a bunch of noise and you have to sift through it. They're like curated by designers who know what they're doing. So if you have no idea what you're doing, Article does. And Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim this, you just visit article.com/acme, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. So just go to article.com/acme so you get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more by visiting article.com/acme.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411 and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials,
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with the most incredible TikToker there is right now, Drew Afawalo. Hi, Drew.
Woohoo. Hello.
I can't tell you how many people DM me, I am obsessed with Drew. Oh my God.
Really?
How'd you get her? You are very loved. And we start all these episodes with the same question, which is, what is your favorite romantic gesture?
Ooh, I'm a big fan of like the element of surprise. So like literally a week ago, my boyfriend, like I got home early from work and he was like, I didn't know you were going to get home so early. And so on his way, he was driving home from the gym and he was gone for a while because we live really close to the gym. And I was like, hey, like I was thinking like, wow, I wonder what's taking him so long. And when he came home, he bought me like a bouquet of flowers.
That's really
cute. So I think
cute.
Stuff like that's my favorite. And it doesn't always have to be buying anything. Yeah. It's just like making like my favorite snack or making my coffee for me, like stuff like that.
I would yeah, say. Like acts of service.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like surprises.
Just like I knew you would want it and I thought you would enjoy it. So I got it for you.
That's really cute. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you guys met. We need to know the story.
Yeah. We met in high school. Like we went to high school together. Mm-hmm. He's a year older than me. So he was a grade above me. We were not high school sweethearts. I know a lot of people think that. No, I'd like to think more enemies to lovers arc. Just kidding. We were just like, we were good friends.
Yeah.
Like we just ran in the same circles, went to different colleges, like dated other people. And then when I graduated from college, he like started kind of reaching out to me a little bit. And I say this every time I talk about it, I genuinely can't remember what it was, but like I was annoyed at him. I think I do remember why. I just don't remember why I felt so strongly about it. It was more so like, we were good friends, and when I would come home from school breaks and stuff, he would like, we would get like lunch, like old coworkers, mm-hmm. and then be like, okay, see ya. And then we just followed each other on socials and stuff. And then I was ignoring him because he had been annoying me and blowing me off before that. And I was like, we're not even that close. We don't need to be friends. It's fine.
Right, right.
And then I hadn't talked to him in like a year or two. And then he when I was about to graduate, he started hitting me up a lot. And then I finally kind of was like, all right. Cause he was like, I know you're ignoring me. I really want to make it up to you. If you really don't want to see me though, like I won't bother you anymore. And when I got that text finally, I was like, all right. And my mom actually convinced me to go like to lunch with him. She was like, well, just hear him out. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he wants to apologize. And I was like, okay. So joke's on me. Now I'm in love. So here we are.
How long has it been now?
7 years. It's going on seven. This August is 7 years.
That is so impressive.
Yeah.
How, I know. Like, what was annoying you about him? Do you remember?
I don't remember the specifics because it was so long ago. But I feel like it was more so the fact that, like, I felt like he was blowing me off and it was getting closer to the time frame. So, like, we would make plans to get lunch or something, very neutral. And then he would cancel on me a few days before. And I'm like, that's fine. Not a big deal. And then the next time, like 6-7 months later, he reached out again. He's like, let's get lunch. And then it was like the day of. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of annoying. And then like the last time it was like, he just didn't show up at all. And I was like, and I didn't, thankfully he didn't go anywhere because he was supposed to pick me up.
Right.
But I was like, are you like coming or no? Like, what the hell's going on? And then he didn't reach out to me till the next morning. And I was like pissed off about it. And I was like, you know what? We're not even really that close. So we don't have to keep doing this.
Right.
Like, we don't need to do lunches once a year. It's not a big deal. Looking back now, though, I feel like there was a reason why we kept meeting up for lunch just randomly. Even though we didn't really talk every day or anything like that, I think it was just like, I think that was like the universe pulling us like together. So, yeah.
Do you think that part of him knew that once he did like fully show up, you would end up dating? And he was kind of like delaying that because he knew that that was going to happen.
I honestly don't know. I think, well, the thing about him too is like he's extremely convicted in everything he does. So he doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do, most especially like if, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you've seen my boyfriend, but many people have. He's a very good looking man. So like he has no problem getting attention from women. He has no problem dating. He has no problem with any of that. He's very charming, very smart, very funny, like blah, 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 all the things, all the wonderful things. So he has no problem in that department at all. So he doesn't chase ever. He's never had to. This was the only one he did. So even I've asked him, I'm like, what made you keep pursuing me? Because I think if I had ignored him and it wasn't something that he felt compelled, he would have just been like, all right, whatever, and moved
on.
Right,
right.
But he was like insistent. Like he really, really wanted to see me and hang out with me. And he doesn't really know. Like he's told me, I think honestly, even then I knew like I would regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't like reach out to you. And now I know for a fact that's true. And I was like, don't say nice things to me.
That's really
cute.
Don't
say sweet romantic things to me. I'll get mad.
I have to ask. So I know that you're a Virgo, right?
Yes.
What is his sign?
He's a Libra.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Period. Look at us.
Love.
I love Libras.
When
I love
is
Libras.
His birthday?
October 21st.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, he has the same birthday as Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, he does. I actually didn't know that. Every
hilarious.
Time I see people wish them a happy birthday.
Wait,
like,
and you know what's so weird? Tell me if you feel a type of way about this. Uh-huh. I just think it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know who else has the same birthday as Kim Kardashian?
Who?
Amber Rose.
That is very strange.
That is strange, right?
Like, that's weird. Like, it's weird. It's weird because it makes sense, but it doesn't.
Totally.
That's how I feel.
Like, it's like when, like, some women will reach out to me and say that they date the same sign over and over again. I feel like that's, like, that same kind of energy.
Yeah, that is true. That's a good point. I mean, I feel like if women gravitate towards a specific sign, there's probably a reason. Like, my sister kind of sometimes gravitates. My sister's gay, but she gravitates towards Leos a lot. Which is a good and a bad thing, as are most signs. But I feel like even for me, when I was dating in college, I mean, I don't think I ever really dated the same sign. Because I think I sampled a lot of them and I was like, nah, I hate that. But I think him being a Libra is really good balance for me.
Totally. It's
yeah.
So good.
I need
yeah.
that. I need the grounding that that Libras have.
For sure.
That.
For sure. I know a lot of Libra Virgo couples.
Really?
It's usually the guy that's the Libra that makes it work.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have been together for a long time and you had this like huge come up on TikTok and you are a celebrity now from it all.
Yeah.
How, if at all, did that affect your relationship?
Oh, I mean, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever gotten that question before. I think it never really affected it in a bad way. I think the only negatives were really just like me working a lot, like way more than I used to. But even then, like prior to doing this, like when I was working at the NFL, my boyfriend is a certified personal trainer. So he was working at the time, he was working at a franchise gym. So he would work all, like he would be gone by the time I got up. And then I was working so far away that I wouldn't see him till nighttime. And even then, like we'd both have to go to sleep. So like that was honestly way worse because we never saw each other. So doing this for a living, I think just adapting to that part was a little different for us. But we had a really serious talk about it when it really started picking up. Like I, you know, talked about like, how do we feel about being a public facing couple? Yeah. Like I'm super okay. If you don't want to be a public person, you don't have to be. Like you can be in my pictures and stuff or my videos, but like you don't have to unprivate your account if you don't want to. Like right. You don't have to do any of those things. I don't ever want him to feel forced to be in the spotlight just because I am. So we had a very serious talk about that. And he has been nothing but supportive. In fact, he encouraged me to join TikTok in the first place. Like he really was like, I think you should do it. I think you'll enjoy it. So it's honestly his fault. If you hate me, take it up with him. But it didn't really affect it negatively at all. And my boyfriend has told me, because I've told him even in the early stages of dating, I was like, I just feel like I'm going to do something really important. And I feel like I was just so convicted, Virgo, in like my path. And I was like, I just feel very strongly like that's going to happen for me.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. Cause at the time I thought it was going to be in sports and like in entertainment kind of thing, like a sports and entertainment, not necessarily just entertainment. And he's told me now, like, he's like, you're the only person that's ever said that to me that I was like, I could see that happening for you. And it did. So period, Virgo. Always right. And I think he's just really, really happy for me. And he supports me. And he's honestly grateful because my boyfriend draws so much attention just like naturally, like past any sort of public person image or anything. He just naturally garners a lot of attention because he's so unique looking.
Yeah.
He said his favorite part was that people now look at me and not at him. And that's his favorite part.
Oh, so that's like, really sweet.
Perfect. Works out great for the two of us. So yeah, it was, I mean, I think it was just like any job you get, like you kind of adapt as you go through it.
But yeah.
Hinge is the dating app designed to be deleted. Why? Hinge gives you a sense of someone's personality and it lets you share your own. You get to know potential dates through their unique answers to prompts. Plus, you get a sense of someone's dating intentions and what they're looking for. I'll never forget when a friend of mine, we actually weren't even that close, but like, you know, those friends that you get coffee with every so often. I was getting coffee with her. And she was complaining to me about dating. And I was like, let's just open up your Hinge and take a look. And we looked and there was like one or two guys that she had matched with that she didn't have a conversation with. They were just like in her matches. And I was like, why don't you talk to these guys? Like instead of looking for new people, what about the people that you've already matched with? She ended up talking to one of these guys. Now they're married with the cutest kid. He was this British guy who she would normally like have not met anywhere because they were just running in different circles, and they are the cutest couple and they're so happy. And I just don't know what you guys are waiting for. You need to download Hinge because on Hinge, there are no rules, timers, or games. If you're feeling inspired, give Hinge a try. Download Hinge today and find someone worth deleting the app for. Trust me, it's worth your time to spend at least an hour a week on Hinge doing your due diligence, and you won't be disappointed. I promise you. Download Hinge today. If you just watched Quiet on Set and it ruined your entire childhood, well, that means you're probably a millennial like me, and it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. Clarins is the best brand with a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. And listen, we've been adulting for a while now. It's time to figure out our stress aging. Yes, it's a thing. Trust me, I have seen it being a new mom. And you need to trust Europe's number one skincare line that has a solution that you need. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. It really de-stresses your skin in the best way. I've been using Multi-Active while I've been breastfeeding because I, you know, of course, can't do anything beyond that. And I can already tell the difference. This cream truly does it all. It makes my fine lines and my pores look smaller. It refines my skin texture, enhances radiance, and gives me a 24-hour hydration. So you should really check it out by going to clarins.com/acme and getting multi-active day and night cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/acme with promo code ACME. clarins.com/acme with promo code ACME.
With what you talk about on TikTok, which is essentially, you know, talking a lot about your views on men and just how like most of them suck. And most are misogynist and all this stuff. Do you think that you having a significant other like supports that more? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
totally. Like some people are out here giving advice and they've like been single the whole time.
No, totally. Unfortunately, yes, I do think that it bolsters my argument a little bit. Not necessarily just to undercut men who try to like use that as a gotcha moment, because being single is no indicator of whether or not you're worthy of love or respect, literally at all. They should know that they're all single. So, but I think that for what it is I talk about, I think on the other side of things, it really strengthens my credibility when it comes to other women who are interested in dating men. Like, and I've said before, like, misogyny is so sinister and evil. It works in many different ways. But one of the ways is to convince you, like settling is like a tool that they've crafted. And they're like, if you don't dim, if you don't shrink, if you don't like do what I say, if you don't act the way I want you to act, you're going to end up alone. And I think men for years have used that as like a kill shot on women, which a lot of them succumb to it. And it's by no fault of their own. Like that's not on them. It's just on society. It's a conditional thing. So like they've been conditioned to believe that. So they're like, okay, well, maybe I do have to kind of settle in certain areas. And I've told my audience before, like I'm living proof that's not true. Like you don't have to do that if you don't want to. And you could still end up with someone who you're attracted to, but also like loves you and supports you and is smart and funny and charming. Like it doesn't have to be like I have to dim myself in order to get someone that I feel like I deserve or want. And so I, unfortunately, yes, it's not a good thing, but I don't think that is the case, but I don't think it hurts either. I think it gives people better perspective on it. And also like, it's like proof. It's like, okay, well, clearly she's in a relationship and it's a long-term one. And sometimes men try to tell me things like, well, she will, you know, he's probably just with her for the money. And I was like, I had $0 the beginning of our relationship. I was like, I don't know if you guys think I met him yesterday, but we've been dating for years. And we've known each other for over almost, I think, past 15 years now. Like, we've known each other for over a decade. So, yeah, that's, try again.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, I think it helps a lot, yeah.
Totally. Why do you think it is that men are worse to women on TikTok than, like, on any other social media platform? Like, what is it about TikTok?
Yeah, I think the gift of virality is a curse in a lot of ways. And I think that men have seen other men build platforms off of like, you know, being awful towards women. It's like all under the guise of jokes. Like I'm just being funny. I'm just telling jokes. Me too. But they really don't like my jokes. I guess two different kinds of jokes. One's acceptable. One's not for them. But I think it's just, I think a lot of it is driven by the need to go viral. And I think it gives them a sense of like power and autonomy that they don't believe they have. So they're like, I'm going to go online and I'm going to build a community of other horrible men that also hate women because women don't give me the time of day. And somehow that's their fault. So I'm going to find community in it. And I think that's why TikTok is like where it was like growing like a tumor for so long. And I think it's just, I've said this before, but I'm like, mediocre men find so much camaraderie and tearing down women they do not deserve. Like they genuinely, they find, they're like, yeah, me too. Same.
It makes them
feel good about themselves. And I think TikTok's just like where it was just growing rapidly. I wouldn't necessarily say it was the worst, but it is pretty fucking bad compared to other, like other platforms. It was a lot worse on TikTok than I had ever seen before.
Right. So, yeah, no, it's crazy out there.
Yeah, totally.
But so obviously there are like horrible guys on TikTok. There are horrible guys on all platforms and you can find them anywhere. But do you think that we like, especially your content
yeah.
is ever sometimes like too harsh when mm-hmm. it comes to men. Cause like, if you think about like your boyfriend and like, mm-hmm. you know, the other men that you respect and love in your
yeah.
life, like,
yeah, yeah.
are they ever like, Drew, like what the fuck? Like, you know, I'm a good guy, you know, or like, you yeah. know, your manager,
my manager is yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm surrounded
I'm a good
by men.
Guy. Like, what's up?
In short, no, I don't think that. I think compared to what men have done to women for hundreds of thousands of years, I think I'm scratching the surface, to be honest. I think I'm tip of the iceberg. There's a new thing going on TikTok literally right now where women are just being punched in the fucking head, like literally just being punched in the head in New York by random men. And they're like, they're just being socked in the face for no reason at all. So no, I don't think me like comparing your teeth to the doors of a haunted house is anywhere near the fucking same.
Yeah.
But on top of that, like men who believe that they are worthy and they don't draw validation from pushing women down, don't give a shit about the things I say. The only men who get ruffled by it are men who don't feel like they measure up. Mm. And so my bringing attention to it makes them feel even more inferior than they already do. So when men get pissed off at me, like, and they get really angry at me, it's because I hit a nerve. Like I hit something that you personally feel is not, it's like diminishing your manhood or your masculinity, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And that makes you feel some type of way. So instead of taking that shit out on me or other women in your life, go to fucking therapy and unpack it. Like unpack why you feel that way. Why is it what I said? Why did that make you so angry?
Right.
In fact, my dad encourages me to be meaner. Like when I was first starting, he's like, I think you could have gone harder, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll show my boyfriend my videos and before I post them and he's like, well, I think you could be meaner. I'm like, you think? He's like, yeah, I think you should go back in there and redo it. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh no, for sure. I'll get right on that. So like the men in my life, whether they're like family or friends or men that I just like love and admire, I have a lot of male friends too, like yeah. just that are not related to me and they find me hilarious and they think it's funny and they don't give a shit. And all of them, some of them are tall, some of them are short, some of them have good hair, some of them don't. Like they really don't care because their self-worth and confidence doesn't come from feeling better than women. And that's the common thread all of the men who hate me share. Like they feel so inferior in their life compared to other men because male validation means everything to them. Like social currency with men who are greater, more talented, that makes them feel good about themselves. And even though they don't have any with men, they feel like inferior, which is again, a self-inflicted thing. Like you are making yourself feel bad. They're not doing anything to you. Right. You're just comparing and you don't like how it feels. So the only other people they can compare to are women. So they're like, well, I may not be able to compare to him, but I sure is fucking better than her.
Right.
And that's where they get their power from. A good example of that is like, I made a video not too long ago defending WNBA players. Like I've defended female athletes. I've defended sex workers. I've defended normal women. I've defended fat women, tall women, skinny women, like all across the board. I've defended women of all kinds, shapes and sizes. Athletes especially ruffle the feathers of men. You would be shocked to see how many men were like, I'm only 5'4", but if I got on the court, I could dominate her.
Of course.
I'm like, but see, that's not what men who are really good at basketball are saying, are they? So like a man who isn't shit in the world of sports has this divine conviction that he could defeat someone in a sport that she plays for a living. That makes no fucking sense. And men who are at the same level as her don't treat her that way. Because real recognize real, right? So like Caitlin Clark is a good example. Like she's dominating college basketball. Kevin Durant, who's one of the greatest basketball players to ever live, has co-signed her. Like Sabrina Ionescu was being personally mentored by Kobe Bryant because he wanted to. Those are men who are at the same exact level, if not past them. And they're like, I see this girl as someone who's extremely talented at her craft and I want to help her perfected even more. Men who are at that level aren't treating her that way, but men who are beneath her are. So that's why I'm saying this imbalance of power is self-inflicted and it's projection at its very highest.
It's so true.
So men are constantly comparing themselves to other men. That's a you thing, girl. Unpack it. Like go to therapy, unpack, ask yourself why you feel so inferior. No one's making you feel that way.
Right.
Like you're doing it to yourself. Facts. So like I never feel that I'm being, in fact, if I could, if there were no community guidelines, I'd be a lot meaner. Yeah. If I fucking could, I'd be way worse than I was in the beginning before they got me. But like all those videos are gone now where I was like actually a lot meaner. But that's just because I don't think I'm ever being mean enough, if I'm being honest.
I agree. So going back to like relationships and dating, a lot of women had written this in and I'm curious myself,
sure.
like how can you recognize a mediocre man when you're dating, right? Like how can you recognize someone who thinks they're better than you yeah. and isn't.
Yeah. I mean, well, first I'll say, I get that question a lot. And I think that women, I believe intuitively are a lot smarter than men at a much earlier age. Like, so we are forced to mature a lot faster than men are. And I said this in a video recently too, where like emotional intelligence and empathy are things that are required for us and they're an option for men. Like men have to choose to learn that at some age. And if they don't, they turn out to be the worst. So like some men choose that path. They're like, I do want to learn how to communicate in a healthy way. I do want to learn how to unpack my emotions and like not take them out on women. So I feel like a lot of women, they know, like, you know, when men are being rude to you, you're just conditioned to look past it. So like, if you're really being honest, you can tell. I don't have a superpower. I just refuse to put up with it. I refuse to look past it. I refuse to make an excuse for it. So the only difference is that I'm not giving them a pass. Every single woman who dates men has the ability to see that shit very early on. And the difference is I swat it out of the sky like King Kong, you know what I mean? Like immediately. I don't give them any chances past it. As soon as you're rude or disrespectful, bye, fucking see ya. But women are like, well, maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe he was having this. And that's not a bad thing to have that, like to be patient and gracious and understanding and empathetic. Those are not bad things. Men try to demonize those things as if they make you weaker. They don't. They make you smarter. They make you stronger. They make you far more capable than most men in the world. Those are not bad things to have. But I think you, instead of directing it towards men who don't deserve it, you redirect that to yourself.
Right.
Like, instead of being patient with him when he's being an asshole, why don't you be gracious to yourself and say, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to hear this. I don't deserve to deal with this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to remove myself from the situation. So sometimes when women ask me those questions, I'm like, you know, if you have to ask me, the answer is probably, you know, you probably already have it.
That's probably true. But yeah. Like, what if it's not that obvious? Like, for example, what if there's a shift like mm-hmm. with your boyfriend? Like,
sure.
Let's say that, you know, when you started, you were like even, or maybe he was more successful. Right. And
yep.
like now you're more successful.
Yeah.
What if that dynamic changed how he treated you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
what
totally.
If he became like, oh no, you can't like be the breadwinner, or you know what I'm
totally.
Saying? Like how that happens over
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing too, is like, and I don't know, maybe this is just a hot take, but like, it doesn't just switch.
It was always
it
there.
Builds like mm. over time. It just gets more and more obvious. Right. So like, let's just, we'll talk about money, right? Like just like in terms of making money. When me and my boyfriend first started dating, both of us were broke. Both of us had $0, girl. And so he didn't feel any type of way about me when I got a job, because I got a job before he did. And I started making money and I started paying for things. I started paying for meals. I started paying for, he doesn't give a shit. And he had a lot of money too saved. So he would pay for things. He was never fighting me on anything. He was never like, well, no, like I want to pay for it because, you know, I'm the man. They say little things like over years, over time. The more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know them, right? So then as we continue to go through our relationship, then he gets a job and we're making about the same money. Everything's the same. Then he goes out on his own, starts his own training business. He started making way more money than me, like way more than me. And then I got fired. So then I was living off of savings and he was taking care of us. Nothing changed. Dynamic never shifted. He never was like, you need to pull your weight. You need to pitch in. You need to pay for this. Then I get this job and then I'm making way more money and nothing's changed. Everything is exactly the same. If it's like he pays for it, I pay for it. We're not nickel and diming each other. We're not bringing up finances. We're not talking. We're like, hey, I actually paid for this. You owe me half of it. Because we're not fucking roommates. Like we're in a relationship. We're in a partnership. We're cohabiting the same and we're taking care of each other. So the attitude and the like understanding of our finances and has changed. It's like, it's been very different as far as like who's making what money at what time, but the energy towards each other and how we handle it has right. never changed. It's been exactly the same. That's why I always tell people when you first start dating someone, pay attention to shit like that. And I saw a video actually recently where a girl said her grandma used to tell her, if he's cheap with money, he's cheap with love, right? So like if he's a fucking cheapskate, most likely he's going to be that way in a lot of different areas, not just with money.
Totally.
Attention, love, empathy, like all of those things. So And sometimes when women are like, you know, I've gotten those kinds of questions where they're like, well, everything just changed when I started making money. Did it change on a dime? Or if you really look back, it's kind of like in that movie 500 Days of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he has like that Chloe Grace Moretz is like his friend, his little friend. She says like, at one point in the movie, she tells him really look back and like actually look at it and see it for what it really is. Were you guys madly in love?
Right.
Or were you in love with her and she was where she was at and she was honest with you from the very beginning? And then when he looks back, he sees the exact same scenes, but he sees everything else instead of like having, it's almost like drunk goggles. You know what I mean? You just have
such
them on,
a good movie.
But they're just love goggles. Mm-hmm. Right. And that, like I said, never a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to look for the good inherently in people, but it is harmful to you when you look past things that could grow over time. So I always tell people it's never an immediate shift. It's always been there. I think you were just looking past it, which is, okay, that's not a bad thing on you, but the gift of hindsight is it's 2020.
So
we can see it very clearly for what it is.
Would you also agree then that there's no such thing as like blindsided by a breakup?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be blindsided. I think, again, when you look back, I think you could see like, I could see that coming. Like, and I think a lot of people have that experience. Like it doesn't happen at the same pace, obviously. Like, when people go through breakups, they're devastating and traumatic and awful. And so you kind of have to sit in that for a while before you get past it. And once you get out of it, you can look back and see like, was I really blindsided? Like, was I really shocked by that? Or was I just hoping it wouldn't happen? You know what I mean? I think there's a difference between being like absolutely shocked. Even if you look at silly movies like Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a good one.
Yeah.
He was blindsided. He was like, what are you talking about? Like, we're so in love. We've been in love forever. And then at the end of, like, towards the end of the movie, he looks back on all these moments where, like, they were not compatible. They just weren't. They fell out of love a long time ago, or they became, like, you know, like, they were just cohabiting instead of being partners. Like, he was just, like, a step stool more than, like, an equal footing partner. So even in silly movies like that, he looks back and he's like, I actually wasn't happy. Like, if you really look, maybe I wasn't happy. Maybe I wasn't being loved and cared for like I thought I was at the time. But again, you want to see the good in people. You want to believe that someone you've been with for a long time wouldn't treat you that way or wouldn't want, you know, anything bad to happen to you. But I mean, it's not always the case, unfortunately.
So. Yeah. Did you see that movie with the girl from Bridgerton? It was like a Netflix movie where she gets the promotion instead of him.
I don't think so.
Oh, I feel like you would do the best deep dive on that movie.
Oh, is it good?
It basically is like what we were talking about. Like they worked at the same company.
Okay.
She was like under him and then she got promoted above him.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the entire dynamic changed. But like the signs were there in the beginning too.
Yeah. I think like that's why I think if someone went through a really tough breakup and they're healed now and they've moved past it, I think all of them would tell you if I really looked back, like, I don't think it was what I thought it was when I was in the middle of it. Yeah. It's hard to see it when you're in the middle of it because love is a wonderful, euphoric, and blinding feeling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Another question that was really popular was about your confidence, which is amazing, by the way. It radiates. It's incredible.
Thank you.
You just have such a good sense of self. Mm-hmm. Was it always that way? Or do you think through having this platform, it like you grew to be like the, you know, perfect level of confidence?
I know it sounds like cliche and cheesy, but I do think it has always, I've had like, I like to call it like a delusional confidence, like from a very young age. Yeah. I don't know why necessarily. I think I've just always, like I think my upbringing had a huge part in it. Like my parents are high school sweethearts. And like my mom has always been like so confident and so independent. And my dad is too, but my dad has always been such a cheerleader for my mom. Like my mom's made more money than my dad as long as I've known them. Aside from when my dad was in the NFL, but even then, like my mom had three jobs and was going to school at the same time when my dad was in the NFL. So like, even then, like my mom has always been very convicted in who she was and who she wants to be. And so I feel like being raised around a woman like that, plus a father who was so, so, so okay with being like a supporting actress, like in the movie of my mom's life. Like my dad doesn't care at all. My dad has no pride at all when it comes to that. Like his ego is not too big to support and love his wife. You know what I mean? And Samoan culture, I've said before, is like, it's at its very genesis, is very matriarchal. Like we've always held women in very high regard. Like that's just how it's always been. That's how I was raised. So I have a lot of father figures in my life outside of my own dad. And I think all of that was just like almost like the perfect storm to foster my like delusional confidence. Yeah. And then like, I think it was honestly strengthened because my sister is completely different from me in a lot of ways and personality wise. My sister is very like, I'm like patient and kind as if I'm not those things. But like my sister is very empathetic and very loving and very trusting and very loyal. And like, I have those traits too, but my sister is very shy and very mm-hmm. quiet and like the complete opposite of me in that sense. And my sister was the first person I ever defended from bullies. And so I feel like that added into the mix too, made me feel even more confident because I was like, I feel convicted in my belief that you shouldn't be treating her that way. You shouldn't be treating me that way. I think it was just like, honestly, the perfect cocktail of my surroundings. And then obviously as I got older, like my confidence just like grew as I got older and learned more about myself and who I want to be. And then having the platform, I think, is just another way for me to kind of implore that other people have the same kind of confidence. Because people have said, I've always wished I had your confidence. And I always tell them, you do. You just have to give yourself permission to use it. Like women are so conditioned to stay to the side all the time and be like, well, I can't do that because if I'm too loud and too this and too that, like people won't like me. Men won't be attracted to me. Like, and again, that's not true. Like the wrong people won't like you for sure. Right. But I truly have always believed that my shine and my confidence doesn't pull from other women. It's just, I truly believe I'm the most awesome version of myself. And that's not a dig on anybody else. It's just, I think I'm awesome. I think you should think you're awesome because we're all awesome. Yeah. And that's okay. If we say it, it's all right. No one's going to toot your horn. I'm going to, you know what I mean?
I love that. And I laugh because I feel that I'm also delusionally confident. And it's like the only way to be happy.
Yeah,
like,
truly.
It's amazing.
It's crazy what the world opens up to you mm-hmm. when you believe that. Like you truly believe and walk in the belief that you deserve all the love and respect that you want in the world, whether it's platonically, romantically, in your job, whatever it may be. It's crazy how if you actually walk in that shit, it happens to you.
Totally.
Like, it opens up to you. It's and a beautiful
like,
thing.
An example of delusional confidence, which I feel like you'll agree with, is like, when I look in the mirror, like I'm like, you know, obviously it changes, like it's not always saying, but if I'm like, I look so good like that day. Right. Yeah. And then like someone takes a picture of me and I see it and it's like not good. Instead of being like, oh, I look so gross. I'm like, oh, that picture like doesn't do justice for how
man, I look so bad for that camera. Cause it did not capture
like, that's
my
crazy.
Essence. No, that's so real. I get that too. I have that too. Even like when I was first coming out of college and like, I was like gaining a little bit of weight too. And I had a belly button piercing for like 10 years and some of my belly button rings weren't fitting me anymore. Yeah. And I was like, well, honestly, it's probably because they make the stems a lot shorter. And like, that's probably why. That's not why. That's not why at all. But that's what I told myself. And then I was like, well, you know, that's probably what it is. So not a big deal.
Exactly.
And I just like move on with my life. And another example of delusional comments I've told people is that I don't have any celebrity crushes at all. And it's because I genuinely believe, and this is not a joke, that I could get anybody I wanted. Like, I truly believe that. I'm like, just give me like 10 minutes. Let's just sit in a room and chat. And then he's going to want to date me. And I'm going to be like, oh, can't. I'm taken. I'm like, I genuinely hold that belief so severely.
That's amazing.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, because it's true. And who's going to tell me otherwise?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Prove it. Like, come sit in a room with me and let's see.
Put Brad Pitt in this room and see what happens.
Let's see. He'll try not to fall in love with me. Uh-huh. See what happens.
Okay. This is like a very random specific question. But this person has asked, you know, when like you do like an ask me anything, I don't know if you do this. And it's like someone asks the same question over and over, but like
really
you haven't gotten
to
it yet. This is that question. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to ask Drew. What would you do if you walked in on your boyfriend watching porn?
Oh, watching porn. I have gotten questions about porn before. Like, just like, I honestly would probably want to talk about it. I'd be like, hey, what's going on here? Right? Let's talk about it. Let's talk through this. And I would try to see. But like, this is, again, my personal preference. I don't like that personally. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you have to go somewhere else mentally to get it, maybe there's something we need to talk about. Maybe there's something we need to address, right? And that's just a boundary of mine. That doesn't have to be everyone's boundary. Because the few times I have talked about it, sometimes people are like, well, I don't care. Okay, congratulations. No one's going to give you a fucking medal. I do care, right? So that is a boundary of mine. Mm. So we would have to talk about it and go from there. That's what I would do. But I've told people before, if your boyfriend is constantly watching porn and you guys are in a monogamous relationship and it makes you uncomfortable, you have every right to bring it up. and address it and talk about it and tell them that makes me uncomfortable. I really don't like when you do that. Mm-hmm. I would like to figure out a way for us to solve this issue without either of our boundaries being crossed, right? And then if he continues to do it, clearly he doesn't care about your boundary and he's disrespecting it over and over and over again. Maybe it's time to move on to somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Because clearly you guys have two different ideas of what's appropriate and what's not. Now, that being said, does every couple operate like that? Of course not. Like some couples are super okay with watching porn on both sides. That's great. That's awesome. Not everybody's like that. And I do think that there's this fear of, and I always think about like that cool girl monologue from the movie Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Women truly believe they have to be okay with anything men do, even if it makes them uncomfortable, because otherwise they're going to think I'm a fucking uptight bitch. Who cares if they do? Like, if you care and it bothers you, you have every right to bring it up, address it, talk about it, set the boundary, and try to move past it. You have every right to do that. Whether or not he adheres to it or follows it doesn't, is not guaranteed, but at least your needs are being met too. Like, it's not all about him. He doesn't just get to act however the fuck he wants just because you're afraid that he might think you're like uptight, not cool, whatever the fuck that is. And honestly, a cool girl is a pick me. So like pick me girls are girls who do anything for male validation or, and that includes compromising their own boundaries.
Right.
And I had a video like years ago, this is before I even had the platform, but it did really well, where there was this trend going on TikTok where girls were like sending their boyfriends pictures of like bikinis and they're like, do you like this? And then he would say like, no. And then she would respond like, oh, well you liked it on her. And
I remember that.
Do you remember that? He's liking pictures of girls. Like, and they're like provocative pictures, they're sexy, hot pictures, whatever. The women look great in them. And so I think it's okay if that bothers you. It's okay if you don't like that. That's okay if you don't like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. It doesn't make you a bitch. It doesn't make you a weirdo. It doesn't make you insecure. That's the biggest one where other women were like, you're just insecure. Well, you're acting like a pick me, okay? I was like, another woman being beautiful doesn't make me feel bad because I'm also beautiful. That's not the problem I have. My problem is not with her. It's with him. It's with him. Because if you're being honest, when men like all these sexy pictures of other women, why do you like that picture? You a big fan of the scenery? You a big fan of the bikini? Or you're looking at ass and titties, right? That aren't mine. So like, maybe we should talk about that. And that's only applicable in my opinion to like heterosexual relationships, because outside of my purview, I can't speak to that experience at all, because it's very different for other sexualities as well. But when it comes to this, let's all just be honest with ourselves, right? If your boyfriend is liking sexy nude pictures of other women, or like a Kylie Jenner or something like that, sexy pictures, let's say it was Kylie Jenner, right? If Kylie Jenner like just so happened to hit up your loser boyfriend and was like, hey, I want to date you, would he leave you? He would, right? Okay, so let's all just be honest. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. Like, if he would jump at the chance to be with her, then there's really no difference, is there? Like, between liking the picture. Oh, it's just a picture. Okay, well, I'm just going to go like a bunch of pictures of wieners, and then you can't get mad at me.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of pictures of wieners, and you can't get mad at me. Because sometimes when I say that, people are like, well, I'm assuming you don't do that either. You're right. I don't.
Right.
Because that's a boundary we both have. And also, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to, like, you know what I mean? I don't want to like pictures of other men that are not my boyfriend, because I'm not attracted to other men that are not my boyfriend.
100%. So I think the only caveat would be like, if you are someone as a woman who likes to watch porn, then it's like, you can't really come for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why I said boundaries are different for everyone.
Exactly.
Some couples love doing that. That's great. Uh-huh. That's awesome. That's just not my vibes. And if it's not, if you're asking me, I'm assuming that's not your vibe either.
Right, exactly.
Right. So like, if that's not your vibe either, you have the right to communicate the boundary if you want to.
Yeah, it's
And then
true.
Whether or not he adheres to it, I mean, it depends. It's specific to him.
Yeah. For me, like as someone who does like watching porn, my issue with that would be like, why didn't you tell me you were going to like into the bathroom?
Oh, by yourself. Huh?
Yeah. Like,
you're like, you don't have to do it in secret.
Yeah. Like it's exclusive and secretive and I don't like that.
Invite me to the party next
time.
Right,
exactly. But that is interesting, because I feel like in this relationship, that's how I feel. And there were other relationships where I didn't like if they did that. You know what I mean?
That's why I said it changes. Exactly. It's very like, it's never a one size fits all kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've told people before. Like, the world is not so black and white in that way. And I think that's why it's really important to be attuned to your own needs and your own wants and desires. Like, if you don't like that, that's okay. That mm-hmm. doesn't make you a prude. It doesn't make you an asshole. It doesn't make you a bitch. But if you do like that, that doesn't make you gross. That doesn't make you weird. That doesn't make you a whore. It doesn't make you any of that. It's very specific to the person. Like, once we take the stigmas out of everything, it's a lot easier to address your needs. You know what I mean? So and all true. Those stigmas are perpetuated by the patriarchy, ironically. Like, it's very misogynistic in its very nature. So, like, it, once you take the stigma out, you can be more honest with yourself about what it is you actually do want and what you don't want. And that's okay.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Tell us about your book, Loud. What made you want to put the pen to paper?
I actually have told people before, I was like really nervous to write a book. I didn't think I had it in me, mm-hmm. to be honest. But you know now, especially having to listen to me talk forever, I could talk for hours by myself. So Phil was actually, my manager was actually a huge catalyst in me getting the book. My mom really wanted me to write a book. And then I think what I really wanted to accomplish with it was I wanted people to kind of hear my thoughts expanded on like my beliefs and everything. Obviously, like TikTok's short form content, even like my podcasts and stuff like that are more long form, but it's not as like detailed and everything. So I think the book was just a really great opportunity for me to kind of expand a lot more on my thoughts and beliefs, my ideologies, like why I move the way I do in life, like how I got there. And it also gave me a chance to kind of explain more about like my upbringing and my cultural upbringing and my family dynamic and like how that played a role and all of that. And I think it was just really, really important for me that I wanted to empower people and kind of, I've told people before, I've wanted to give people a piece of like my brain and my heart to take home so that they could hold it when they need it and like pull love and strength and courage from it. Like they do my content. And I feel like the book is just like a long form version of that, which I'm really, really proud of and like really happy. I'm happy it worked out, thank God. But I'm really happy that people are going to get to kind of see me in a little bit of a different light, I think. And then also there are things in the book that I talk about and expand on greatly that I've never talked about publicly ever because I wasn't really ready to.
Yeah.
And I feel like the book was the perfect opportunity for me to do that. So yeah, it's just all around, I think it was just a way for me to expand more, like kind of take my content and stretch it out for however many pages. So unfortunately for men, but fortunately for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, you have so many nuggets of wisdom. Like, it's crazy. I'm still thinking about what you said about how women, like, we have to be emotionally mature and we have to be empathetic. Yeah. And men, like, it's a choice.
Yeah, they get to choose if they
want. Mind blown. We're going to do some fun rapid fire poll questions.
Let's do it.
And then we will take it out. Okay.
Perf.
Let's see what we got here. If you're generalizing, do you think men typically marry the cute one or the hot one?
I think mediocre men marry anyone. I think awesome hot men marry hot women, period.
This guy, you're going to hate this. Guy says that he needs to have sex early on to know if he's interested and attractive. Is this bullshit or can it be true?
It's bullshit. Obviously. He knows if he wants to have sex with you immediately. Please, you don't need to put it inside me to know if you want to. Shut the fuck up. Come on.
Okay, this is kind of like cringe, but by random bored Insta stalking, you found out your dad follows a bunch of inappropriate and pornographic accounts on Instagram.
Oh my God.
Do you tell your mom, yes or no?
I wouldn't tell my mom because I would live in fear of what she would do, but I would tell, but yeah, I would tell your mom. Yeah. In a way that's gentle and patient with her because that's horrifying to hear. Oh my God.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
What does it mean when a guy likes a girl's Instagram story? A, means he likes her, trying to make a move. B, harmless, friendly. C, man whore, probably doing it to lots of girls.
I need more context. It really depends. But also, you would know. If you have vibes that he's like playing the field, then he most likely is. That is kind of like a little like nudge. Like he's interested. He's trying to see if you're down. Yeah. I think it's more of a feeler. Like he's putting out a feeler.
Mm-hmm,
so he's probably into you.
Would a guy be texting you every day since you met if he wasn't interested? Yes, he still could, or no, he's deaf into it.
Again, I need more context. I mean, it could be that he's interested, or it could be that he just likes that you're interested. Mm-hmm. Like he could just like the attention that you give him, which a lot of men do that, and it's fucking bullshit.
So annoying.
Yeah.
You're traveling out of the country with your significant other and you have different interests. Like you want to go shopping. He wants to go to sports games or museums. Is it normal to split up at some points and do your own thing? Or should you compromise and do things together?
I think it's normal. I just think out of the country could be dangerous. You're traveling alone. Like, And also, I think if you really love your partner, you'd be willing to share in each other's interests. So like do one where you're doing what you love and then do one where you're doing what he loves and then do stuff where you're doing it together. I think it's fair.
Yeah,
you could split up, but like, do you want to? Like mm-hmm. when you go to, like if you go to Europe for the first time, like you don't want to spend it with your partner.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? I'd compromise. That's what I would do.
You never met your date in real life, but you have a bunch of mutual friends. Should you let him pick you up for the first date or drive yourself?
No, drive yourself always. I always tell people that. Drive your fucking self so you can bounce if he sucks.
Like, yeah, also like they're going to know your address. It doesn't matter if you have mutual friends.
That too.
Sketchy.
And even if you do know him loosely, like again, like don't give them the power of driving you. Like literally be like, I'll meet you there. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. I'll meet you there.
Right.
It's just, and then it's better
like,
that way.
If it does go badly and they did drive you, you could still get an Uber or whatever, but yeah. It's like awkward.
It's so awkward and uncomfortable. That's why autonomy. That's why I always vote autonomy, especially a first date. No way. Drive yourself.
Yeah.
I drove myself to my first date with my boyfriend just in case.
Yeah.
I was like, just in case.
You have to. Yeah. I love it. Drew, this was so fun. Can you leave us with a quote or piece of advice, even though you've done that this whole time?
Oh, yeah. A quote or a piece of advice. I would say if it's in relation to men and dating men or whatever, if you have to ask the answer is probably no. So like, do you think he's ever going to want to marry me? If you have to ask, the answer is probably no. Do you think he's ever going to want to have kids? If you have to ask, the answer is probably no. Right. It's just a better rule to live by. It saves you a lot of time and energy. And I think you would never have to ask if it was the right person.
That is so true.
That's what I would say.
I love that. Where can everyone find you, follow you, and order your book?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you can find me at Drew Afualo on literally everything. And then my book, Loud, Accept Nothing Less Than the Life You Deserve, comes out July 30th. And I don't know when this is going live, but if it's already after July, go buy my book. Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon. All those places.
Oh, and your podcast.
Oh, yes, yes. And I have two podcasts. I have my Spotify exclusive podcast called The Comment Section, which is very fun. And then I have a podcast with my sister called Two Idiot Girls, which is also very fun. So check them out. I'm annoying on many different platforms.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.